It helps if I turn it on, right, Brother Rick? Let's take our Bibles and be turning the book of Galatians, if you would, please. The book of Galatians in Galatians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles that you can use this morning. Just raise your hand if you would, please. Our ushers are all set to give you a Bible, and I'll give you a page number so you'll be able to follow along. So if you need a Bible, just hold your hand up high if you would, please. Go with us to the book of Galatians in Galatians chapter 3, page 1243 in the book of Galatians. At least keep that fam circulating, all right? The book of Galatians in Galatians chapter 3, if you would, please. Anybody else need a Bible? Just hold your hand up high. Go with us to the book of Galatians in Galatians chapter 3. I do recommend, fellas, this last time I'm going to give you this recommendation. You know, a wise man listens to his pastor. You're wise to take that jacket off. Just because I'm going to get warm doesn't mean I'm stopping anytime soon, all right? And you think a little heat stops your pastor, you got another thing coming, all right? And you just keep fanning. We'll keep, as long as we keep breathing, we're all right. Amen. Not a very good amen. As long as we keep breathing, we're doing all right. Amen.
Amen.
That's a little bit better. All right. If you're here for the first time this morning, we're studying together the book of Galatians here in our morning service. And if you have not had the opportunity to follow along with us, you can actually go to our website on the internet and listen to our Sunday morning messages. I believe you click on the Galatians series. I believe that's where it's at, right? Excuse me? Recent messages. And now get you to the Galatians series. Need to slow down a little bit, don't I? Get you to the Galatians series, and you can catch up and listen to the messages on the book of Galatians. I encourage you to do so if you're just visiting with us today. And that way it'll help you to get an understanding of this book. Galatians was written as a defense of the gospel, the grace of God, what that song just sang about. If it weren't for grace, truthfully, none of us could get to heaven. I don't care how hard we try, I don't care how sincere we might be. If it's not by the grace of God, we're just not getting there. That's just the plain truth of it. And I'm thankful that God does save us by His wonderful, matchless grace. Now, if you've been with us in our study, I want to back up just a little bit this morning. And I want to deal with an issue that is relevant to the day in which you and I are living. As we go through the book of Galatians, I not only want to teach you the book of Galatians in its historical context, that's the only way to be true and honest with the Scripture, is to teach it within its context in which it was given. But I also want you to see how those gospel truths that are interwoven in the book of Galatians can apply to issues of our day. You may not really be aware of this, but there's a big controversy across this nation, maybe more in theological circles, maybe more in pastoral circles than the pew circles. But if it's going on within the pastors, it's filtered down to the pews. You understand what I'm saying? Because the pastors are the one who are teaching the folks in the pews. And the issue is, what constitutes genuine, true, saving faith? There's a controversy over that today. And I want to show you how a truth in the book of Galatians applies to an issue of our day. And so if you're physically able to stand, we like to stand for our scripture reading. If you can't, that's fine. Just stay seated. But if you can stand with me, that's fine. And either way, just follow along your Bibles in Galatians chapter 3. Look what the Bible says in verse 6. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. I know we covered this last week, but I'm backing up just a little bit to cover this issue. The Bible says, even as Abraham did what? Believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of what?
Faith,
the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, look at this now, through what?
Faith.
Through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for our young people being back from Atlanta, Brother Adam and Miss Leanne. And Miss Batson and all the young people that went over to the summit, Lord, we're thankful for that. We thank you for the good messages they heard, for the work that you've been doing in their lives this weekend. We thank you for that. We pray, Lord, that you would do a work here this morning in our lives through the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. I pray that as we study together as a church body the book of Galatians, that we will become grounded in these issues, Lord, that are so pertinent for us to be able to be sound in the faith. Help us in that. I pray as we get ready to embark on our 10-week soul winning campaign, Lord, that you would fill each one that goes out with thy Spirit. Grant us your boldness. Help us to meet many people, open conversations for us. Help us to win people to Christ, see people brought into our church as a result of that campaign. We'll commit it to your hand and praise you for it. Pray for Dr. Flanders and the conference coming up next week. Father, may you just have control, complete control of your servant. And Father, may he bring the messages that could be the most help to us, spiritually speaking, in our own lives. Help us now this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning we're dealing with an issue of what constitutes true, genuine, saving faith. And although you're going to hear me use that terminology throughout this morning, because that really is the terminology that's being spoken around our nation, I prefer personally not to use the expression saving faith. And the reason why is because it gives the impression that faith is what saves us. When faith is not our Savior, listen to me very carefully, we're saved through faith. But faith is not the Savior. Jesus Christ is our Savior. And we never want to forget that. You know, we're not saved through our faith. We're saved through Jesus Christ. Christ is the one who came down to this earth to be our Savior. That fact is brought out even before Jesus came, when Joseph was engaged or espoused with Mary, and Mary was found great with child, and he was thinking within his heart, you know, what shall I do in this situation? And the angel appeared unto him and said, Joseph, fear not to take Mary to be thy wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And he goes on and says, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? Well, the verse says, for he shall what? Save his people from their what? Sins. It is Jesus Christ who came into this world to be the Savior of mankind. Some of the greatest words that have ever been spoken on the face of the earth, the greatest good news message, if you would please, that the world has ever heard, came to some shepherds as they were watching the flocks by night. Let's take our Bibles and look at it, if you would please. Hold your place in Galatians. But go with me to Luke chapter 2. This is the night in which the Lord Jesus Christ was born. The Gospel of Luke, if you would please, in Luke chapter 2. If you're using one of our Bibles, page 1073, the Gospel of Luke in Luke chapter 2, page 1073, notice what the angel said to the shepherds who were out watching their flock the night that the Lord Jesus Christ was born. In verse 10, if you would please, Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, the angel said unto them, look what he says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to, get it now, and circle it in your Bible. How many folks? All people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Here's the good news message. Hey, there is a what? Savior that has been born. And notice the Bible very clearly tells us, which is Christ the Lord. So understand that Jesus Christ came into this world to be the Savior of mankind. If you look over in Luke's Gospel, in Luke chapter 19, you'll remember the story of Zacchaeus wanting to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember that story? Have you heard it when you were a child in Sunday school? And Zacchaeus was a man of short stature. Remember that? So he climbed up into a tree so he could see the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says to Nicodemus in Luke chapter 19, in verse 10, notice the Bible says, for the Son of Man is come to, here it is, to what? Seek and to what? Save that which is lost. So the Lord Jesus Christ came into this earth for the distinct purpose of coming to be the Savior of mankind. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now understand that a Savior is someone who saves you from a situation from which you could not or cannot save yourself. If I were out in the middle of Lake Murray, we'll have to pretend a little bit, but if I'm out in the middle of Lake Murray, I'm in a boat, there are no life jackets on that boat, that's breaking the law, you can't do that, or you shouldn't do that, and I do not know how to swim, and all of a sudden the boat sinks. So I'm out in the middle of the lake, I don't have a life jacket, I don't know how to swim, and the boat sinks. What's happening to me? I'm in the process of, we'll see how these teenagers can do. I'm in the process of what? Drowning. Well, you guys need to wake up a little bit. In the process of what? drowning. So I'm in the process of drowning. Can I do anything about it? The answer is no, other than yell and scream. I can yell. I can scream. You know, I can flutter around in the water. But if I don't know how to swim, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to drown. In that particular situation, I need someone to come along and rescue me. I need someone to come along and save me. See, it's a situation that I'm in from which I cannot save myself. Jesus Christ came to this earth to be our Savior because all of mankind is in a situation from which we cannot save ourselves. Now, we're living in a pretty self-sufficient world, where people think, hey, I can handle it, especially the macho men. Right, guys? Yeah, hey, I can handle whatever comes my way. I can solve whatever problem. I can solve whatever difficulty. Listen, none of us here this morning can solve the problem of our sin. We have no way of paying sin's penalty and then conquering the grave. You see, to be delivered from sin, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin's penalty has always been death. So if we were to pay the penalty of our sin, we'd have to what? Die. And then to be successful at it, to be able to go on and live forever, we'd have to be able to conquer the grave. Can we do that? So therefore, as sinners, we're in a situation from which we cannot save ourselves. So the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ becomes good news. It becomes great news. It becomes wonderful news. Because here's someone who came on this earth as the sinless Son of God and went to a cross and died in our place, paid sin's what? Penalty on our behalf. He then was buried, and the third day he rose again, proving he's got the power to have life. He conquered the grave. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered Satan. And therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ can be our Savior. He can deliver us from the situation from which we cannot deliver ourselves. Take your Bibles and look over, if you would, please. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll hold our place in Galatians. But go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. You'll find this on page 1276. 1276. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I want you to notice with me this morning. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, I want you to notice verse 10. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 10. Now, there's some things in this verse that you ought to mark. I hope you come to church with your Bible in hand. I hope you come with something to mark in your Bible, maybe make some notes on. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 10, the Bible says this, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the," get this now, "who is the Savior of" how many? All men. May I encourage you this morning to circle that phrase, "who is the Savior of all men." I want you to understand that when Jesus Christ came to this earth, when Jesus Christ went to a cross, when Jesus Christ died on the cross for man's sin, when Jesus Christ was buried, when Jesus Christ arose from the dead, He did not do it for an elect or select group of people. He did it for all the people of the world. There's not an individual on the face of the earth who cannot be saved if they would but come to Christ for that salvation. The Bible says He is the Savior of how many? All men. And then notice the next phrase. It says, "especially of those that believe." So while Christ came to be the Savior of all, does that mean everyone is saved? No. Because it is then conditioned upon whether or not a person, what? Believes. See, salvation is available to everyone, but you have to take it, you have to receive it, you have to accept it. You have to believe on Jesus to be your Savior. It would be like if I were sick in the hospital and I had a disease and the doctor came in and said, I'm dying, you're dying, you're dying. And then he came in a day later and he says, hey, listen, I found something that will save your life if you'll take it. And here it is right here. And he plops it down in front of me in one of these little pill cups. You've been in the hospital, you see how they, right, Kaylee? Yeah, give you those pill cups. Yeah? He says, here's the cure. Here's a cure for your disease if you'll just take it. And I take that stuff and I'm mad at the doctor because he told me I was going to die. And I just take it and I throw it in the trash can. What's going to happen to me? I'm going to die. But if I would take the cure, I could what? Live. Jesus is the cure for our sin. Jesus is the cure for our sin debt. Will you take him? The verse says he's the Savior of all men, but specifically, or it says here, especially to those that what? That believe. Now, understand that salvation has always been conditioned upon man's faith. We're not saved by our faith. We're saved by Christ. But faith is the way we receive him. Faith is the way that we take his salvation. Faith is the way we get into the family of God. Look over in the book of Romans with me. Romans chapter 1. Now just stay with me, okay? And it is okay to fan here this morning. Might generate a little air. Might get it flowing all the way up here, and that'd be great. Romans chapter 1, if you would please. Page 1192. I do apologize. We thought it was fixed. They did too. Romans chapter 1, if you would please. The book of Romans in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, page 1192, Romans chapter 1, I want you to look with me at a number of verses here in the book of Romans that speak about this issue of faith. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 16, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." The gospel is the good news that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. So Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of this message of the gospel, for it," the gospel, "is the power of God unto," look at it now, "unto" what? Salvation. And then it says, "to everyone that" what? "Believeth." So Christ came to be the Savior of us all, but it's only good if you believe. If you don't believe it, it's not good. If you don't accept it, you don't have it. It's there. It's already been provided. It's already been paid for. There's not anything you can do to pay for it. Christ paid it all on the cross. But you've got to believe it. You've got to accept it. It's the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth. He says to the Jew first and also to the what? Greek, meaning God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't matter. God will save you regardless of your nationality. Salvation's open to all. Verse 17, "For therein," in the gospel, "is the righteousness of God revealed." Now look at this. "From faith" to what?
Faith.
"Faith, as it is written, the just shall live by
faith."
So how do you get this salvation? By believing it? By faith. By the way, those are two different words that mean the same thing. We'll talk about the issue of faith and the definition of faith in just a little bit, but I want you to see here that salvation comes to us through this issue of faith. Look in chapter 3, please. Chapter 3, stay with me. We're building something here this morning that I want you to get. So important. I'll show you a little bit later on why it's so important. In Romans chapter 3, got your Bible open, camera? Get your Bible open. Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, you might need to sit over there, Brother Andrew, help him out a little bit. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Look what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24, the Bible says, "Being justified freely by his" all. By his what?
Grace.
Through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Through that payment that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary. Verse 25, "whom God has set forth to be a propitiation," look at this now, "a complete satisfaction," a complete payment, that's what that propitiation means. Through, here it is, through what?
Faith
in his what?
Blood.
So when we put our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we believe that his blood can wash away our sins. Guess what happens? Salvation becomes ours. The faith did not save us. Christ saves us. It's faith that receives it. Notice chapter 3, verse 28. Chapter 3, verse 28. "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by," look at it please, "by what?
Faith
without the deeds of the..." Look over in chapter 4. Stay with me. Chapter 4. Don't go to sleep in here this morning. We'll all be standing while I preach. Romans chapter 4. Let's look at this please. In Romans chapter 4, you say you aren't serious. No, I'm half serious. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. Notice what the Bible says. "But to him that worketh not, but" what? "Believes on Christ," on him that justifies the ungodly, "his," your, what?
Faith
"is counted for" what? righteousness. I'm just showing you what the Bible teaches. Salvation, Jesus is the Savior. How does that salvation become ours? When we respond to Him and by faith. When we accept Him, when we believe on Him. One last verse here in Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by what?
Faith,
we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to get it clear in your mind, church, here this morning. Christ is the Savior. Faith is the means through which He is received. How do you take Christ? How do you take the salvation? Through what? Through faith. But it's not our faith that saves. It's Christ who saves. That's why I don't care for this term, saving faith, although I'm going to use it this morning because that's what's being used out in the circles. People are talking about what constitutes saving faith. Well, it's not our faith. It's not faith that saves. It's Christ who saves. But I'm going to use it in the context so you understand. Now, I'd rather say what constitutes biblical faith. But I didn't start the discussion. They did. So we'll just use their terminology. Let's go back to the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3. And as we go back to the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 3, I want you to notice that God uses the Old Testament father of faith, Abraham. Abraham. To uncomplicate the issue of faith. If you think this issue of faith is a complicated issue, you haven't understood it. It's not a difficult issue. Faith is not a difficult issue. If it's a difficult issue, you've made it a difficult issue. You don't understand it. God just very clearly tells us in this passage of Scripture, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6, Abraham did a very simple thing. Look what it says. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. You call that complex? It's pretty simple, isn't it? Abraham did what? He believed God. What's faith? Faith is believing God. Faith is taking God at His word. Faith is coming to rest upon the promises of God, what God has said, if you would please. Now, when I read that verse in Galatians chapter 3, where it says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, I ask myself the question. I don't know, do you ever read the Bible and ask yourself questions? Am I just strange? I don't know. You know, I ask myself questions. Okay, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. I ask myself the question and say, okay, what did he believe God about? Is that legitimate? I mean, it says he believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. So what did he believe God about? Well, you look in the next verse. In verse 8, the Bible says, in the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, notice, preached before the gospel unto who? Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. What was it that God said to Abraham, to which he responded in faith, to which he believed? Well, the answer is, God preached the gospel to Abraham. Isn't that what the Bible says? God preached the gospel to Abraham. Now, people often wonder and people often think that folks in the Old Testament times were somehow saved differently than us who live in the New Testament. And the answer to that is no. Folks in the Old Testament were saved in the same way that we folks in the New Testament are saved. You get the visual here? I'm using Old Testament over here, New Testament over here. Is everybody with me? Okay, all right. Old Testament folks. God says that in the Old Testament, God preached the gospel to Abraham. What's the gospel? I'm going to send my son who's going to die on the cross. He's going to pay your sin debt, your sin penalty. He's going to be buried. He's going to rise again the third day, proving he's got the power to bring you life. Hey, I'm going to send my son, Abraham, to be your redeemer, to be your savior. And what did Abraham do? He looked forward in faith to God's son. He believed God. He trusted in Jesus to be his savior. You follow me? Now, here we are. And the fact of the gospel of Christ dying on the cross is history past, is it not? Isn't that right? So we look back to what has taken place 2,000 years ago. How are we saved? There's a Christ who died on the cross, who paid our sin debt, was buried and rose again the third day. He promises eternal life to any who will believe on Him. What do? We believe God. And in the same way that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, we believe God concerning the gospel. It's counted to us for what? For righteousness. See, this issue of faith is not a hard issue. It's an issue of taking God at His word. In fact, if you look at this passage and you think about this passage and this simple illustration of Abraham, you find that really there are two components of what we might call saving faith or biblical faith. Two components of it. First of all, the first component is there is a God who says something. If God never said a thing, we couldn't respond to Him in faith. See, the first component of faith is the fact that God, there is a God who says something. There is a God who speaks. There is a God who promises. Just like verse 8 says, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, here's the word, preached. God preached. You know what that means? He sounded forth the word. He told Abraham. What did God preach to Abraham? According to the verse. The what? The gospel. So God Himself preached the gospel to Abraham. So the first component of faith is the fact of God speaking. The second component of faith is man's response to what God has said. Man's response to what God has said. We see that response in verse 6. Even as Abraham did what? He believed God. So you've got God speaking, you've got man's response to what God says. Let me just put it down where we can get it. Look over in John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. Now, I'm not trying to confuse anyone here this morning, but I am definitely seeking to be very definitive and very discerning in the issue of faith so that you understand exactly what faith is, because faith, truthfully, is under attack today. And in John chapter 3, let me use this illustration, a very simple illustration. John chapter 3, verse 16. Do you know the verse? Page 1117. If you know the verse, say it with me. If not, read it. John chapter 3, verse 16. Look what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me ask you a question. Who's speaking? God. God. It was Jesus who said those words. He said them to a man by the name of Nicodemus. And He said to Nicodemus, I want you to understand something, Nicodemus. God loves the world so much that He was willing to send me to this earth to die in sacrifice for your sin. See, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What did God give His Son to do? To die in sacrifice for us, to be our Savior. Remember, a Savior is someone that can save you from something or that you cannot save yourself. Remember that? We can't save ourselves from sin. If Jesus is going to be our Savior, He's got to save us from sin, which means that He's got to pay sin's debt on our behalf. He's got to be able to conquer death and the grave and those things, which He did through His resurrection. And God is saying something in this verse. He says, I love you so much that I gave my Son in sacrifice for you. I did it so that you wouldn't have to perish. So that you should not, what? Perish. And He says, I also did it not only so you wouldn't perish, but so you would have what kind of life? So is God spoken in the verse? Answer is what? So we have a first component of faith, do we not? God what? God speaks. But the second component of faith deals with man. And that is man's what? Man's response. And where do we see man's response? Look down in verse 18. In John chapter 3, in verse 16, we see God speaking. We see man's response in John chapter 3, in verse 18, where it says, He that believeth on Him is not what? Condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, man's response to what God said in John 3:16 is brought out in verse 18. In essence, you either believe or you don't believe. You either accept or you reject. You either say yes or you say no. Aren't they both there? He that believeth on him is not, and he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not. He's not believed. He's not put his faith in Christ. So you see, God speaking is in verse 16. Man's response is in verse 18. And my friend, everyone sitting here this morning has one of two responses to Jesus Christ. Everyone out in the world has one of two responses to Jesus Christ. You either believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the one to get you to heaven, and according to the verse, you're not condemned, or you say, no, I'm not believing on Jesus to be my way to heaven. And the Bible says you are condemned what? Already, because you refuse to believe, you refuse to be a person of faith, you refuse to take God at His word. And so which side are you on? Are you on the believing side or are you on the disbelieving side? Are you like Abraham? Persuaded of what God says? You see, faith is persuasion. Romans chapter 4. Let's go back there. Romans chapter 4. What I'm saying here this morning is there are many people on the face of the earth who are taking this issue of faith and they're making much more out of it than what God makes out of it. And they're introducing things into it that God does not introduce into it. And in Romans chapter 4, I want you to notice with me about Abraham once again and how that faith is a persuasion to the truth. In Romans chapter 4, speaking about Abraham, in verse 18, the Bible says, who against hope believed in what? Hope. You with me? Romans 4, 18. Talk to me. You with me? Who against hope believed in what? That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now look at this. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through what? Unbelief. Remember now, faith has two components. First of all, God what? God speaking. Secondly, man responding in faith or believing God. So we see here in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strong in what? Faith, giving glory to God. Now look at this. And being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to what? Perform. You see what faith is? Faith is persuasion. God's going to do what he says. God says, if I will believe on His Son to be my Savior, I'm not going to perish. I have everlasting life. Guess what? I'm believing God. So what's going to happen to me when I die? I'm not perishing. I have what? Everlasting life. Do you understand the issue of faith? See, don't make it complex. Don't make it difficult. Don't add something to it. There are too many people in our world today that are adding to faith, trying to redefine faith. I'm going to give you some illustrations here this morning to bring it to light so that you can see and understand what I'm saying. There are some good men that I love, that I appreciate, that I respect, who make a statement, and you've probably heard this statement made, that I caution you about this morning, church. I caution you about this morning. Have you ever heard someone say the faith that saves is the faith that works? The faith that saves is the faith that works. May I caution you, church, to be very, very careful about that statement? The faith that saves is the faith that works. The faith that saves is the faith that works. According to Romans chapter 4, verse 5, works have nothing to do with faith. Romans 4, 5 says, but the him that worketh what? Not, but believeth on Him, on Christ who justifies the ungodly. It is your faith, it's not your works, it is your faith that's counted for what? Right there in that verse, God separates our works and faith. Do you understand that? He does not combine the two. The faith that saves is the faith that works. Be very, very careful. What these good men of God ought to express is this. The faith that saves is the faith that should work. That should work. In other words, once we're saved by putting our faith in Christ, should we go on to work for the Lord? The answer is what? But I don't see in my Bible that tells me and teaches me that the faith that saves is the faith that works. In other words, I don't find that works automatically follow our faith. It should. It should. Let's go to Ephesians. I'll show you this. It's in the Bible. You don't have to look at me strange, all right? I'm not making something up. I'm just trying to be discerning. Ephesians chapter 2, and keep people from being confused. God is not the author of confusion. And if God's not the author of confusion, who is? The devil or us? Satan certainly confuses a lot, does he not? But so do people. And so we want to be a crystal clear sound. And in the book of Ephesians, we're all familiar with Ephesians 2:8-9. We can say it without looking at them. Let's just say it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now look in verse 10. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship. We're what God has done in our life. We've been created where? In Christ Jesus. And for what purpose? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained. Now look at the expression. That we what? Should walk in them. That we what? See, the faith that saves is the faith that works implies that you will walk in good works. And therefore, the conclusion is, well, if you're not walking in good works, you must not have this faith that saves. The Bible does not say that our faith in Christ automatically generates good works. It says that it what? Should. The book of Titus says that we as God's people need to be careful to maintain good works. Let's go to the Titus. Let's look at this. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. I tell you, beloved, what we're looking at here this morning is so extremely important. This is an issue of our world today. This is an issue that is not going away. This is an issue that is causing confusion. This is an issue that's leading people astray. This is an issue that's causing people to think that faith involves their works, and so therefore they're not truly trusting in Jesus Christ and Christ alone for their salvation. And in Titus chapter 3, notice if you would, page 1284, the book of Titus, in Titus chapter 3, in verse 8, the Bible says, this is a faithful saying. These things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, hey, we who have come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we might be careful to do what? Maintain good works. He says, these things are good and profitable unto men. Listen, once we're saved, we ought to be people who are concerned about doing good in our lives and maintaining good works in our lives. And we need to be people who put off the old man and put on the new man. And we need to be people who put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be people who are walking as children of light. But let me say, my friend, our salvation does not automatically bring that. And if it did, why do we find all these admonition after admonition in the Word of God for God's people? Hey, you're saved? Live right. Live like it. I mean, if faith automatically brought it, we'd all be the greatest Christians, wouldn't we? You with me? But how many of you found out it's a little struggle to live the Christian life? Just three of us? I appreciate you doing that, brother. I felt the breeze coming my way. Brother Joe felt it right over his head. Listen, I'm not against good works in the lives of God's people. I've spent the last 40 years of my life pleading with God's people to live right and do good works. But I'm against the idea that true, genuine faith, the faith that saves, must involve one's works. But to him that worketh not, but what? believeth. Now, there's something else I'm against. I'm against a lot of things. It's Dr. Seidler. How many of you remember Dr. Seidler? Just heard of him. None of you? He's a godly man. He was a pastor up in the Greenville area. He had a deep voice. I'm against this. I'm against that. I'm against this. Somebody came up to Dr. Seidler. He says, I think you're about against everything. He says, if it's wrong, I'm against it. I'm against many of the modern writers who are redefining faith to include, listen to me carefully, self-denial, cross-bearing, and following Jesus. For example, and I quote, I brought the book with me, but I've written down the quote, so I'll just read what I've written down. But if you want to see it, I'll show it to you. And if you want to make sure I'm quoting in context, I'll show you. Because that was one of the complaints to the article I just wrote in the Sword of the Lord. Oh, he's quoting the man out of context. Come see me. I'll show you in the context. John MacArthur, he wrote a book titled Hard to Believe. I don't know if you can see what I've written on the front of this book or not. False prophet. I don't want my kids to get my library. Say, Dad had that book in his library. It must be a good book. I want them to know Dad had this book in his library to be able to defend the truth. And this man is not teaching the truth. Although he's a very popular Bible teacher across America today. In fact, he is what they call America's premier Bible teacher today. But he writes in this book, he says, it's pretty simple. Anyone who wants to come after Jesus into the kingdom of God, anyone who wants to be a Christian. Now, is that clear? If you want to be a Christian. All right, now here's what he has to say. He says that person has to face three commands. Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Jesus. Whoa. Is that what the Bible teaches? To go to heaven? No. You say, but you just don't understand what he's saying. Page 67 of the book, same book. He writes, you will never know whether Jesus can save your soul from hell, give you new life, recreate your soul, plant his Holy Spirit there, forgive your sin, and send you to heaven until you give your life totally to him. That is self-denial, cross-bearing, and following him in obedience. Wow. I didn't hear the Apostle Paul and Silas say that to the Philippian jailer. They said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be what? Saved. I'm hanging on to that. Amen. God said it. Amen. I'm going to believe God over MacArthur. You with me? See, biblical faith is taking God at His word and trusting in Jesus alone, the provision of His sacrifice, and that alone to be your way to heaven. Now listen, after we come to accept the Lord as Savior, we begin to grow in the Lord. We become to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We go on to discipleship. By the way, if you're a young believer here in our church and you want to get involved in our discipleship program, we've got folks here who will take you in one-on-one discipleship and they'll teach you the Word of God. And when you learn about discipleship, you learn about following the Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what? There's self-denial. There's taking up your cross. They're following Jesus. Amen? But that is not salvation, that is service. That is not sonship, that is discipleship. And I don't become a disciple to be saved, I become a son to be saved. And Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 were not written to God, to people that needed to be saved. They were written to people that were saved. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Bodies a living what? Sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's for God's people that are saved, not for lost people who need to be saved. Listen. This issue of faith is not involving self-denial, cross-bearing, and following Jesus. It involves a God who has spoken and someone who's willing to believe Him. Amen. And God said, I sent my Son. I loved you so much, I sent my Son to be your Savior. So you wouldn't have to perish. So you have eternal life. You going to believe me? Or not? And then last of all, my third illustration here this morning, I got to get three in there, is so many of the gospel tracts that are available today are leading people in a wrong direction. Be careful about the gospel tracts that you use. Don't just think that any gospel tract, you go down to the Christian bookstore and get I need some gospel tracts to pass out. If you want some gospel tracts to pass out, there's some good ones right there in that track rack. You ever find a bad track in that, then God have mercy on us. You can trust them. But here's one. The title of it's The New Birth. I like the title of it, The New Birth. And for the majority of the track, it's very, very good. But then you get over to the back, and have you ever noticed how they can ruin it right in the last paragraph? Have you ever noticed that? You know, you read all the way through this and you say, man, good, oh, that's great, and this is wonderful. And you get back to the last paragraph and they just ruin it. And they get to this one and they ruin it. You want to go to heaven, you should confess that you're a sinner. Okay, we acknowledge that. You must experience sorrow for your sins and for your transgressions of the law of God. You must forsake your sins and then receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Now listen to this. To receive Christ means much more than to believe in Him. Whoa. Believing Christ is receiving Him, right? Or receiving Christ is believing in Him. And here he's saying to receive Christ means much more than to believe in Him? What are you talking about? It means that you must follow Christ and make Him the master over your body, soul, mind, and soul. Is that salvation? That's not salvation, but yet it's being presented as salvation. Here's another one. Are you going to heaven? I like that question. Are you going to heaven? All you got to do is go to the back. In fact, you might as well read the back before you read anything else. And you go to the back and you say, to begin this relationship with Jesus, you need to accept that Jesus died for your sins. We agree with that. Ask Him to forgive you for your sins. Let Him be the Lord and God of your life. Turn away from whatever the Bible calls sin. I got to do that to go to heaven. I'll never make it. How many of you still struggle to turn away from your sin? And you're telling a lost person to do what you haven't done? And you got the Holy Spirit in you. You follow me? I'm just trying to help you to be discerning. I've got a whole stack of them here this morning, but you know, I won't take you through all of them here this morning. I do the little cartoon tracks. You see all the little cartoon tracks? Just don't even read the last paragraph. Just realize they're all bad. You know, people like the little cartoons. I don't care for them too much. But chick tracks, yes, chick tracks. What must you do to go to heaven? Number one, admit you're a sinner. Number two, repent, be willing, turn from your sin, submit to God. Number three, believe that Jesus died on the cross, shed His blood to pay the price for your sins, that He rose again. Ask God to save you. And number five, ask Jesus to be the Lord, to take control of your life. Again, that's not salvation. That is discipleship. There's so much of this false discipleship salvation message going on today. It's called Lordship Salvation. That it's everywhere you turn. Everywhere you turn. And in those tracks, there's a blending of truth with error. That's how Satan likes to work. He doesn't come with just blanket error. He likes to take truth and blend it with what? Error. For he knows that a little leaven, according to Galatians 5:9, leaveneth the whole what? Lump. Asking a lost person to change his life and give up his sin in order to be able to come to the Lord Jesus Christ is something that we as believers struggle with. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good what? Thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find what? Isn't that not the words of the Apostle Paul? The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the what? And these are contrary the one to the other. Don't put the Christian life involved in becoming a Christian. Living the Christian life doesn't make me a Christian. If I go out and stand in my garage, does that make me a car? Okay, all right. If I go out and stand in my garage for the young guys, does that make me a motorcycle? Okay, for the young ladies. If I go out and stand in my garage, does that make me a truck? Yeah, you see all these young ladies riding around in trucks these days. Yeah. The answer is what? So why do I think that living like a Christian makes me a Christian? You see, so many people are putting the cart before the horse. And they're saying you got to live like a Christian in order to be a Christian. Listen, you can't live like a Christian until you first hear what God says about Jesus Christ, respond in faith, believing God. Then you can start living like a Christian. And when people take elements of the Christian life and combine it together with the gospel message, you begin to lead people astray. Church, I'm trying to help you to understand some discernment and some understanding, to gain some insight into some issues that are very real in the world that we're living in today. And as we study through the book of Galatians, it's not just my goal to teach you the book of Galatians and help you to understand it in its contextual setting. Yes, no question about that. I won't be faithful and true to the Lord if I don't do that. But I also want you to understand how those gospel truths as taught in that epistle relate to issues of our day. Here's an issue of our day. Faith. Faith. Define it. You tell me I can go to heaven through faith? Well, tell me what faith is. God spoke. Do you believe? There you go. Full persuasion that what God says, He will what? God says He will save me by grace if I accept His Son. God, I'm accepting Jesus. And His grace, what does He do? He saves me. I hope that helps you this morning. And if you're here this morning and you're sitting there thinking, what in the world's he talking about? You have two options. Well, you have three options. You can close your Bible and leave here and stay in ignorance, wondering what in the world is he talking about. Or you can see me and we'll talk about it. Or you can get the CD and listen to it again until you get what we're saying. Because what we're saying is important. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able to perform. Therefore, God imputed it to him for righteousness. My friend, if you've not yet come to faith, believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God who died in your place to pay your sin debt, to be your way to heaven, would you take God at His word and receive the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? If you're here and you are saved already, make it your prayer. Make it your prayer that God, as we study through this book of Galatians, would you help me to understand these issues and be able to know them and be able to stand where it's right and be able to communicate it to others. Boy, this world today needs a clear voice for Jesus Christ. May you be a clear voice for Jesus Christ. Let's bow together in prayer. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I appreciate your attentiveness in spite of the heat here this morning. And while we close the service in prayer and then sing a closing hymn, I wonder if there's anyone here this morning that has not yet come to the point in your life where you've taken God at His word and believed on His precious Son to be your Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and all your life you've been in church, you've gone to church, you've been religious, you've done good deeds, you've thought that throughout what you did in life, you could somehow earn your way to heaven. My friend, I hope you've understood. You can't save yourself from this situation of sin. Would you trust Jesus to save you? If there's anyone here this morning that has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from their sin, I encourage you to do it here this morning while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, right where you're sitting in the quietness of your seat. Just talk to God and tell Him, God, I do need the Savior. I need Jesus to be my Savior. I heard what you said in your word this morning, and right here this morning, I believe you. I'm trusting your Son Jesus to be my way to heaven. My friend, if you would do that, God says you wouldn't perish, you would have everlasting life, and He'll be true on His word, but you must believe Him. But if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I just believed God, trusted Jesus to be my way to heaven. Could I pray for you if you did that? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one's looking around, would you just quietly slip your hand and slip it down so I could pray for you? Saying, here this morning, I'm trusting Jesus, what He did on the cross to be my way to heaven. Preacher, I want you to know I did that. I want you to pray for me. Anyone real quickly and quietly, just slip your hand and slip it down. May God help us to be people who stand for the truth, who understand the truth, who possess discernment, and we're a clear voice for Jesus. Father, I pray that you would help us to be that clear voice for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help our church, Lord, throughout this soul winning campaign to go forth in this community, Lord, and give a clear clarion sound for our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Help us to understand these issues that are being taught and perpetrated in our world, and help us to stand for what is right. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.